internet or listening to this on CD, welcome to the service. I want to talk about all in. And after sitting in John Swan's Sunday school class, it just went right along with my message. And I thought, finally, John heard from the Lord. Maybe I thought, well, finally, I heard from the Lord. I'm on the same page as John Swan. So it made me feel good. It encouraged me in what I was doing. Because I was a little risky in using poker chips. But I believe every day we take gambles with our lives, with our spirituality, with our salvation, with our choices we make. And I believe God isn't after a piece of you and I. He's after our whole heart. He's after our whole life, our every day, every moment, every situation we're in. He doesn't just want to be with us on Sunday morning from 10 a.m. till 11:40 and then vacate us for the rest of the week and wait for us to come back and get with Him. He wants us all in 24/7, every day of the year. He wants us engaging in relationship with Him. And not just our spiritual life. He wants to be involved in our intellectual life. He wants to be involved in our physical life. He wants to be involved in our emotional life. And of course, He wants to be involved in our spiritual life. Are you all in today? But are you really all in today? Are you sold out in every area and aspect of your life? I would like to answer yes, but I don't believe I can. Because God's still working on the inside of this. He's still making less of Arby and more of Him. And every day I'm trying to improve and be better. So what risks did you take this week? What gambles did you take this week? I'm going to guess that at least most of you drove to church today. We all took a risk. Most of us probably encountered a dozen cars or so on the way to church. So we took a dozen chances with our life to arrive here just to worship our God and hear of His Word spoken to us. That's a risk I'm willing to take every week, multiple times a week. We take risks like that every day and we don't even think about it. When was the last time you tested your water in your house to make sure it's pure? Because if you're on city water, they could poison the whole plant and kill the whole city. Right? I mean, it's a really low risk, right? But it could happen. It has happened in other countries that have exercised genocide. So it has happened to villages, to towns. But why don't we think about that? Because we have faith or trust in the city maintenance that's taking care of the plant. Maybe we don't even know their names, but we believe they're doing their job, so we trust in them. They have our full trust and confidence. We even send them money every month. Right? Does God have your full trust and confidence? Do you trust Him with every situation, every avenue of your life? Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord God, for the opportunity, God, to speak to Your people. God, I thank You, God, for the privilege it is, God, to deliver Your word of truth to the lives of those gathered here today. And God, I ask that You would use me, my mind, and my tongue, God, to speak Your word to Your people. And God, that You would open their ears and hearts, God, to receive what You would have for them today. God, that they would grow through the understanding and knowledge of Your word. God, that it would strengthen and build up their faith, God, in You. God, that their lives would be made better, that they can make better the lives of those around them. And Father, we just thank You, and we ask Your blessing today. And Holy Spirit, we invite You to have Your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I had a devotional this last week that just went along really well with my message today. It's in here somewhere. There it is. One of England's finest preachers decided, because of his wife's failing health, not to go to America and speak at an important conference. That's pretty important for a pastor or preacher to go to conferences and speak, because that's what they do, right? Although he'd purchased his ticket, which I'm sure was not cheap, the ship sailed without him. And J. Stuart Holden missed a golden opportunity in the prime of his preaching career. How many of you are happy you missed a prime opportunity in the prime of your career? Would anybody be happy about that? Not many of us? Okay, he wasn't either. A devoted husband, he gave himself to caring for his wife and tried not to think of what he was missing on the other side of the Atlantic. Would we hold that grudge against our spouse? Like, oh, if it wasn't for you, I'd be over there. Right? But good news is, he was all in for God and doing what God was asking him to do. I lost where I was. Okay. The truth is, we're too easily disappointed when our plans fall through, too easily discouraged when great career opportunities are missed, and our complaining proves that we don't know God like we say we do. Because through our complaining, we're saying, God, you can't be in control because I didn't get my way. If you were in control, I would get my way. And he says, no, when I'm in control, I get my way. And you get to love it. Delay is often the protective hand of our Heavenly Father. It certainly was for Holden, who resolved never again to question God's timing. Why? Because the unused ticket he held reserved his passage on the new, unsinkable luxury liner, RMS Titanic. We all know that story. There's so much talk in the church today about self-help that God's providence and guidance is seldom mentioned. But the bottom line is, we don't decide God's plan for our lives, we discover them. Much of the time, we don't understand how He leads us, and it's only in retrospect that we see His hand at work. Paul wrote, "When I go to Spain, I hope to visit you," but he never made it. Instead, he ended up in prison. But it was from there that he wrote the epistles. So here's the question. If you really believe God is directing your steps, why are you questioning, doubting, and complaining? So it's easy to say we're all in, but do our actions and our words spoken prove we're all in? Right? Because our actions speak louder than words. And our words speak louder than our motives. So when I ask you again, are you all in? Will you do whatever God asks you to do? Because for Paul, that was to go to prison and write the epistles of the New Testament. Not his plan. He planned to go to Spain and preach and teach around the world, or the known world of that time. But he said, my life is yours, God. Wherever you take me, I'm going to continue doing your work, going to continue teaching your word or writing your word or whatever you ask me to do in whatever situation I'm in. And he continued in it even in prison. How many of us, if falsely accused, landed in prison, would go on proclaiming God's goodness and his greatness and his sovereignty and him being just? Because that's what all in means. Now, by using poker chips, I'm not advocating gambling at all. I believe it can be as addictive as anything else in our lives. And we should abstain from any addictions, except for to be addicted to Jesus Christ and showing his love to his people. So don't get me wrong, okay? Give me some grace, give me some love. What does it look like to be all in? What does it look like? Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Now, if we remember Jesus being tempted in the desert, what does Satan offer him? The whole world. So in the game of life, we can play at the devil's table or we can play at God's table. God wants us all in, pushing every chip of our lives, every area and arena of our lives. Say, "God, I trust you with everything. No matter what, I trust you with my family, with my finances, with my occupation, with my health, with my whatever, whatever. I'm all in, God." A man in the Bible that I think of that was all in is Noah. Noah was all in. God came and said, "Noah, I want you to build a boat." And it's argued about how much time it took him to build the boat, but it was definitely multiple decades. Some say 70 years, some say 50. But anyways, it was most of any one of our lives, or more than our lives, that he spent building the ark. For a rain that was coming that no one had ever seen, because at that point in the world's existence, it had never rained. Okay? So he's going out on a limb. He's given God his chip of trust and saying, "I trust you fully, God, with everything. I'm going to give up decades of my life to build this ark. It's nowhere near water, but you said it's going to rain." And do you think people picked on him and mocked him throughout this time? Because he was doing something that was impossible, something that had never been done before, something that was extraordinary in his time. The boat was bigger than this building by quite a margin. And he didn't have modern tools. But because God said to build it, he went to building the boat. How many of us ask God for something on Sunday, and if it doesn't happen by Monday, we're complaining already? My hand's up. I just spent 2 weeks with terrible back pain and spasms and not funness. I'm like, "God, we prayed the prayer of faith. We believe. We claim it in Jesus' name. By his stripes, I'm healed. We prayed the word of God over it. 10 days later, I still hurt. Why? But I have taken no medication today. I only took one yesterday. And I've had no pain for 3 nights of sleep." Yeah. Because I have not given up that God will heal me, that God will touch me. I'm just waiting for the healing to arrive. And I believe it's there and it's whole and I'm well. I could move a little and worship today. It felt good. But often in our quick-paced microwave generation, we want it now. And if it doesn't happen now, well, then I want my chip of faith back. I'm going to play it on this table if you're not going to use it on your table. I gave it to you, God. You didn't do anything with it. He goes, "I asked a man to build a boat and gave him 7 decades to do it. You've given me 7 minutes. But again, it's not in our timing. It's in God's timing. Where would Holden be if he had went in his timing? He'd be another name on the list of deceased on the Titanic. Right? All in God's timing. So for me, what does it look like in my personal life to be all in? I was out doing my walk with God yesterday because I wasn't able to during the week. And I ran into this guy running hound dogs. And he was hunting the area that I always used to hunt when I had hounds. But for me, one chip I hung on to was my hounds. And you can't have that one, God. That's my time. That's me time. And for me, that was a big issue to turn that over to God and say, okay, God, I'm not going to run hounds anymore. And really, my chip was probably time. Because I would spend 3 or 4 days a week, nights after work, weekends, chasing bears or cats. My wife's rolling her eyes going, more than that. 7 days a week sometimes. And if it was a good day to hunt, I wouldn't go to church because it was a good day to hunt. So for me, that was a chip for me. What's a chip on your table that you haven't given to God yet? Because that was a very difficult one for me to give away. And it really struck a chord yesterday. But it was easy. It was fun to see him out enjoying the same country I used to. He was telling me how nasty and miserable it was. Because it is. But what's the chip you're holding on to? Or chips? Maybe you've only given one chip to God. I'm going to believe in this salvation thing enough because I think I need it to get to heaven, but I'm going to hang on to everything else, God. Or maybe you haven't even slid that much across the table to God and say, I'll accept your Son as my Lord and Savior. That's the first chip we all need. To say, God, I'm trusting you with my eternity. Will you forgive me of my sins? Jesus, will you come be the Lord of my life? That's the first chip we all need to push across the table. I hope you've all done that today. If you haven't, make it a point. Another chip more recently was to change jobs. I had a dream job. I was a hunting guide. I got to go play in the woods all the time. Made really good money doing it. Would you love to get paid to do something you love? I got to run hounds and didn't have to own them and take care of them. It's perfect. But God said, Arby, will you trust me with your finances? And it wasn't easy. Still isn't easy. But I said, yes, Lord. If you want it, it's yours. Because it's not always easy to have faith, to trust. Because I can look and say, I was doing something I really enjoyed, making twice as much money as I'm making now with benefits. But that was my plan, not God's plan. God said, will you come work for me? I said, yes, Lord. So what chips are on your table? Because it's not always easy to turn loose of a chip. It's not always loosey to be all in. What are the risks? Matthew 7, 17 through 23. What are the risks of not being all in? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So sometimes we think we're all in, and we think we're doing the work of the Lord. But the Bible warns us pretty clearly. If we are doing the will of the Lord, we'll be producing good fruit. It's not just about being saved and being a live, living being or plant, producing leaves that looks healthy and looks strong. It's about producing fruit, doing the will of the Father, doing the will of the Lord God Almighty. It's not about just living a good, holy Christian life and doing the right things and going to church on Sunday. It's about bearing fruit. The will of God for our lives is to bear fruit. But let's look at what are the rewards of being all in. In John 14, 1 through 3, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house has many rooms, or mansions, as some versions say. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. He's talking about eternity for us. He's preparing a place for you and I. It says a house with many rooms, some versions say mansions. It's not a small cubicle. It says it's beyond our comprehension, beyond what we can dream or imagine. That's a pretty good benefit of being all in, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Absolutely. I want to be all in. So when I cross the finish line, Jesus looks at me and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom. Enjoy the presence of the Lord." Don't you want to hear that? I don't want to hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you sinful man. Depart from me." I don't want to hear that. Absolutely not. Some of the chips we gamble with in our life or take for granted. Salvation can be one of those chips. Well, I really like the idea of heaven and salvation and eternity and being in a good place, and I think if I'm a good person, I can get there. But I really enjoy these pleasures of life. And they're not like, I mean, I'm not killing people, so they're not like bad sins, right? They're kind of those gray sins that are probably okay. That's when we hang on to the chip of salvation and we interpret it how we want to interpret it and make it fit our lives and our wishes and what we want to do with it. But the Word of God is pretty clear for our lives. As we just read, that if we're a good tree, we'll produce good fruit. Right? So let's look at a couple verses here. 2 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. See that word there, endure? If we endure, meaning we have to stay in the race, we have to stay in the game, we have to keep our chips on the table, all in, all the time. We're enduring to the finish line. It's not a one-day sale. It's working out my own salvation every day of my life until the Lord Jesus should take me home. We endure our salvation. We live it out every day. 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are. and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. Your brother and sister being your fellow man, not your siblings. Do you love everybody? Or just most everybody? Does your love cross racial borders? Does your love cross state lines? Now I'm going to get real serious. Does your love cross political lines? Because as servants of God, we're to love all of mankind without discrimination or prejudice, because Jesus Christ died that all may be saved. We don't get to say what's right and wrong. God's Word says what's right and wrong. And His Word for us says to love all our brothers and sisters, regardless of what they're doing, where they've been, who they've been. We're to love them all. I'm running out of time quickly. This is not good. Parenting and marriage are some chips we can hang on to. I have lots of chips listed here. I wish I had time for them all. Just think about every little facet of your life, every piece of your life, at home, at play, in the community, at work, at church. God wants all of us. Parenting and marriage is one I really strongly felt to cover today. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Let's just leave it there. Right? That's where a lot of guys like to stop. That's not where the Word of God stops. As is fitting in the Lord. Next slide, please. Thank you. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. A lot of instruction right there in four verses. I wish we had an hour to break them down. But sometimes we take our chip of parenting and we want to parent the way we want to parent. And we want to do the things maybe we read in a book somewhere else or got advice from someone else. And really what we need to do is apply the Word of God to our parenting and what His instruction manual says for raising our children. Or maybe we're a husband or a wife and we pick up our chip and say, well, I'm smarter than my husband, so I'm going to tell him what to do and put him in his place. But that's not what the Word of God tells you to do. It says submit to your husbands because he is your covering. He is your head. And some husbands think that gives them the right to take their chip and boss their wife around and put them under their thumb and make them do everything they don't want to do because they told them so. But that's us holding our chip and not giving it to God, because if we go into Ephesians chapter 5, it gives us some further instruction, husbands. It says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He left his heavens, he left his realm, came down to earth, got into our world. We, the church, are known as his bride spiritually. He left his world and got into our world. He left his heavenly power and authority and got into our world. So fellas, leave your world, your hobbies and funds, and get into your wife's world. Figure out what she's doing in life. Learn how to love and appreciate her. And what else did Christ do? When he was done doing that, he jumps up on a cross and dies for her. So fellas, until you do that, you haven't fully done what you're supposed to do as a husband for your wife. crucify your flesh, your desires for her needs, for what she needs in her life. And as we love and appreciate them in that manner, out of that, the submission comes really natural and easy for them. And it's not a, I'm higher and better than you. It's a, we're a team. We complete one another. We work in the kingdom together. And hell is really scared of a couple that prays together and does battle together in the spiritual realms. There's a very strong union between a man and a woman within marriage. Put that chip on the table and say, God, I surrender my marriage to you. God, I surrender my parenting to you. Children, surrender your obedience to God. Start obeying your parents and all they ask. Parents, start disciplining your children as is given to us by the Word of God. And you'll receive the fruit of that. Because if we're all in, it's every area of our life is lived by God's instruction manual, not our own. Because when we pick up the chips, it gets messy. I think I'm going to have to stop there. I'm going to buzz through, how do we get all in really quick? How do we get all in? If you have a pen and paper, you can write these verses down. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 teaches us to trust and submit ourselves to God. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our understanding, but on His understanding. And He will direct our paths as we submit to Him. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Above that, it's talking about the people were complaining, well, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Where will we live? And He says, don't worry about any of that. If you'll seek me first, seek my kingdom first, I'll take care of all that for you. That will just come as a byproduct of seeking and serving me. How else do we get all in? Luke 10, 27 tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Love is how we get all in. We begin loving all of mankind, begin loving God with everything that is within us. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, the core of that is resist the devil and he will flee from you. We do have to resist the devil because the devil is constantly saying, hey, come play at my table. I've got some better deals for you. I've got higher stakes over here. I've got proven outcomes over here. Come look at what I'm doing at my table. I've never played high stakes poker, but they have tables where millions of dollars are on the table. You have a lot to gain or lose. I've played penny, nickel, and dime poker, where I've got like $2 when I'm all in. And if you win the whole pot, you might go home with $10, $15. That's if there's enough people there playing. But the devil often stacks the deck against us, but makes it look really sweet. He says, look at this mound that you could win. Just, it's like 100-to-1 odds. You put one in and I'll give you 100 back. Why? Because he deceives us. He tricks us. Above there was John 10:10 that we skipped over, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy us. But Jesus Christ came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So which chip do you want to play? Which table do you want to play at? Life more abundantly or kill, steal, and destroy? Because those are the outcomes of playing at those tables. Philippians 2, verse 3 tells us to put others above ourselves. That's to do the will of the Father. It's pleasing to Him. When we begin putting the will of other or the needs of others above our own. Do you put others above yourself? Well, I would give you my seat, but it's the last one. So you'll have to wait. Or do we say, go ahead and take it? I'll wait for the next one to come around, or I'll walk. Do we put the needs of others above our own? And in closing, picture a puzzle. How many pieces are in a puzzle? Depends on what puzzle it is, right? But how many pieces of the puzzle do you need to complete it? All of them. So as the family of God, as sons and daughters of God, He needs all of us to do our part to complete His masterpiece. Can you finish a puzzle if half the pieces are only half there? No. It's still missing, right? So to complete the puzzle, we need 100% of the pieces to be 100% complete, to complete the whole mural, or whatever the puzzle is. Mine are, I'm still at the like 25-piece ones, doing the Mickey Mouses and that kind of stuff. Some people can do the 500-piece. So each of us are a piece in God's masterpiece, His puzzle. But unless each of us are 100% in, the puzzle's incomplete. We each have a role to fulfill in the kingdom of God, in our homes, in our workplace, in society, in the church, when we're on vacation. Wherever we're at in everyday life, we have a role to fulfill for God in our lives. That's all in. Saying, God, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. As a servant of God, you don't get to go on vacation and say, not today, I'm on vacation. You get to witness and minister to people while you're on vacation, which is kind of fun to do, at least I think. I'm always looking for opportunities just to let God's light shine, to let people know that Jesus loves them. Because there are people out there that don't know that. They don't know they have a God above who loves them. Will you today push all your chips in? Say, God, I'm all in. I give you all that I am. I turn over my finances to you. I turn over my marriage to you. I turn over my children to you. I turn over my occupation to you. I turn over my hobbies, my habits to you. Because what happens if we'll take a chip, let's say fear, and play it at the devil's table? That chip doesn't just stay fear, because he compounds it back to us. And that fear turns into anxiety. And that anxiety turns into anger. And that anger turns into bitterness. And that bitterness turns into resentment. And it goes on and on and on. And pretty soon we're dealing with the symptom out here when the roots clear over here. And we've got to track those symptoms back to that root. And it's an ugly process sometimes. But it would be better if we just put it all in. Because 2 Timothy tells us the Lord did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, of strength, and of sound mind, or self-control. That's what God gives to us. Whose table are you playing at? Whose table will you play at? Amen. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you invite us to be all in. God, that you want to be involved in every aspect of our lives. God, know that, not so you can tell us what to do, but God, so that you can bless us. God, that you can show us your power and might. God, that you can show us your glory. God, that you can show us your hand turned toward us and your blessing and provision. God, that we can see how awesome you are, how much care you have for us, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you. And God, I ask that you would help each of us, God, to be all in for you. God, that we would yield and surrender our lives to you, God, totally. And everything that we are, God, that you would open our eyes to our blind spots, God, to maybe areas we don't see that we're not all in. God, that you would begin revealing to us and showing us, Lord God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you guys want to dig in your folder, have your Connect card in there. Or should have. Name, address, phone number, email, whatever you're willing to share with us. If you would fill that out, if you haven't already, that would be awesome. And we'll pick these up when we take up our offering in a few moments. So you can just have them ready and stick them in the basket as it comes by. On the back side, today I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If that's you today, check that box. There's a couple other boxes that you could check there. And on the bottom, there's space for a prayer request if you have prayer needs in your life. We love to be praying for you and with you over your needs, over your lives. So make sure you fill that out. And also answers to prayer. We love hearing what God is doing in your life, how he's meeting your needs. So if you would fill those in, we'd love to see that. We'd love to stay connected with you guys. I'm going to invite our ushers to come at this time. We're going to receive our morning tithe and offering. It's one more way we get to say, God, I'm all in. His word asks us to give 10% of our increase to his kingdom. So it's one more way we get to say, God, I trust you with my finances. I'm a tither. I have been since I was probably 5 years old, since I started earning birthday money, way back whenever. Don't remember when. But it has always blessed me to give God what is his. Has always blessed me and never hurt me. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord God. God, that you're the giver of good gifts. And God, we just stand on the promises of your word. God, that says if we'll be obedient to you, God, if we'll trust you in the small things, God, you will give us dominion over the great things. And Father, I just ask you to bless each and every one that gives this morning, God, with a cheerful heart, God, to your kingdom. And God, I ask you to bless that which is given, God, that it would be multiplied to the use of your kingdom. God, that we would make you known as great in the Clearwater Valley. God, that we would be able to help and minister to more people in the year ahead than we did in the year behind us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.